we become grandparents. You know, it's great. You know, my daughter and husband were, I could say they were made homeless. No, they were between houses. And so they've come to live with us for a week. You know, it's great. The baby cries in the middle of the night and I can turn over and go to sleep. It's fabulous, it really is. But you know, it brings many thoughts to your mind when you think of it. You know, the hope of the world, it's a new generation started. It was our prayer that he would be a man of God and will follow after Father and be involved in what God wants him to be involved in. So I was very, very challenged with that song we sung earlier about being out of our depth in his love. Isn't that a hard thing to do? Isn't it hard? You know, I can go in a swimming pool up to this deep and I can be a very confident swimmer. I can get away with the rest. But you take that ground from underneath me and I'm in trouble. You know, I've got three daughters and a wife. They swim like fish. Makes me sick. You know, I get like this. You know, I'm sure many of us are like that with the Word and with the Spirit. We're very sure and we're very confident where we are. But God wants to move us on. There is far more in front of us than what we've left behind. And you know, we've got to really step out. And in these days, we've got to step out even more to just see what God is going to do. Yeah. In our fellowship, we've been looking at the word hope over the last four or five weeks. Do you know, there were four of us that were asked to speak on different aspects of hope. Do you know, it got very difficult because we found that each one of us, it was all intertwined with one another. But, you know, it's not we're hoping we're going to have a good sales conference, a good conference at the race course. It's not that sort of hope. It's not that sort of hope. It's a hope with confidence. That's what the Bible talks about. And you know, in Colossians 1:27, it says, "For them God hath chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glory of riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." His glory is in that hope that's within us. Wonderful words, but how can we see that practically? You know, there are two little instances. There's one in the Old Testament in Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings 7. You know the story, you're bound to know the story of the lepers that were outside the city. The city was under siege. They were put outside the city because they were lepers and they were at their wits' end and they thought, well, what are we going to do? If we stay here, we'll die. If we go into the enemy camp, they'll kill us. So what do we do? Well, we've been kicked out of the city, so we'll go to the enemy camp. So they did. When they got there, there was nobody there. The enemy had gone. The Lord had moved in a mighty way and they'd gone. And so these three lepers went back to the city. They discussed first, what should we do? Should we sit here and enjoy ourselves? Have our fill? Really be good? No, we'll go and tell the others. So they went and told the others there was hope if they went out into the enemy camp. And they went back. And you know, it says they gingerly went out. They went softly. They went carefully. They went looking to see if it was a trap. And that's what they thought it was. But you know, they found no one. All they found was all the food and all the things that had been stopped from going in. That the enemy had stopped going into the city. It was all there. And so they went out and they got it. And they feasted. Yes, the enemy is stopping the blessing of God coming upon us. So we need to fight through and to go through where God shows us to do. Do you know that in the New Testament there were two guys who were very much about God's work. And they were going around. Paul and Silas, you remember? they were preaching the word, they were doing as God told them to do, and they were put in prison. Not disturbed at midnight. I don't know about you, but midnight, I'm dead. I've got no go at all. But you know, at midnight they were singing praises to God. That's the confidence that they had. Amen. That's the hope that they had. They knew that the hope of God was their glory. And you know, through that, an earthquake came, their shackles went, and they were set free. That's the hope that we have. It's wonderful to meet together. It's wonderful to have fellowship together. It's wonderful to worship together. But our worship is not just here singing, is it? Our worship is in the workplace tomorrow morning. It's at the end of the day. You know, we either talk about a miserable Monday or a rotten Friday afternoon, don't we? But you know, that's still our worship. That's still our worship. And that's where our hope needs to be centred out, to those that we come in contact with first thing Monday morning and last thing on Friday evening. Those that need to know. I got into trouble the other day by one of our church leaders when I said that we're a comfortable little club. We're a comfortable little club, and we need to get out of that mentality. We need to look out. You know, he went through all the reasons why we were doing the things we were doing. And I said, yes, that's right, I believe you. That's right. But we need to go a bit more. We need to go a bit more. We need to go out of our depth that little bit more. We need to take that hope and move out into it more and more. We need to have that confidence in what God is doing. It's Christ in you. That's the answer. It's that daily living relationship that's the answer. You can only get on with a person as you get to know them, as you talk with them, as you share with them. And so you can take on that, you know. And Andrew will know, when we work together, that I very often get on the phone and say, what about this and what about that? And it's as we commune together, so I can commune to my customers. And that's the relationship we need to have, to take out to those around us, to bring the word of life. And in these days it gets harder and harder, because people are not looking for an answer. They think they've got an answer. In their materialistic way, they think they've got the answer that they need. So we need to show them that the hope and the glory that we have in us is far greater than that which is in the material things. So let's get out of our depth. Let's go. Let's step out. It's an act of the mind. As the brother said earlier, it's an act of our wills to step out, that we would see his glory come amongst us. Amen.
We call it doctrine at times, you know. This is our doctrine. This is what we believe. The thing is that what I believe now is not what I believed 10 years ago. Some of it has changed. God has been doing a refining work and changing my understanding. He's been... Well, it probably will change again. When you think you have arrived, then God just moves the borders that little bit further away. When you think you've attained to that level in God, God lifts the bar that little bit higher and says, jump again. Hallelujah, you know. And all the time we see God is lifting the levels, because he's calling us to a higher level, to a greater understanding of himself. And you know, you think you understand somebody, and then suddenly you see a different side of them. You think, well, I've never seen that before. Yeah. Now, God is no different. You think you've seen God. Moses saw God. Yeah. He saw his backside. He didn't see his face. No. Now, when you see somebody's backside, you do not know what they're thinking. When you see their face, you can often tell what people are thinking. Yeah. You know? Some people, you look at them and you think, well, I wish I could see their backsides. Glory to God. When they give you that, you know, think, okay, praise God, but we'll not go down that route, shall we? Hallelujah. I want to just carry on with that theme of, even with Brian's just sort of, you know, moving it along that way. Just continuing the theme we started some weeks ago, I started some weeks ago with you, and that was entering in to the Sabbath rest. Entering in to the Sabbath rest. Entering into Jesus. He's the Sabbath. It's not a day. What day can I praise the Lord?
Every day.
Every day, David says, I will praise Him. What day can I worship Him?
Every day.
Every day. So, the Sabbath, when Jesus came, He told me, He says, I'm the Sabbath. It's not about a day.
No.
It's not about a period of time. It's about a person. And we need to realize that Jesus is our Sabbath. Even on a Monday, as Brian said, when you're having a gloomy Monday, Jesus can be your Sabbath rest. You can find a rest in that Sabbath day. When you're worn out towards the end of the week and Friday afternoons are getting you down, He can be that rest in that Sabbath.
Yeah.
When something is coming against you, and I'm having to learn these lessons myself yet again, even to a greater degree, a more depth, that when something comes against you, you have to learn to rest in the Sabbath. Rest in Jesus. Know His peace. Know His presence. And know His anointing resting upon you. And that circumstances around you are not controlling the way you live. Praise God. I am not moved by what I see, but by the Word of God.
Amen.
And we need it in our lives. We need to get an understanding of what the Word is saying to us. We need to see it through the eyes of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we need to press on into the things of God and to see God moving in our lives and changing things for us. Glory to God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And when He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him, Christ Jesus. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are mere shadows of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
Amen.
It's all about Christ being the substance. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and in the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. It's not about the things around us that are going on. It's not about festivals and celebrations, but it is all about Jesus. It is about you and I entering into the presence and into the rest of God and entering into His glory.
Amen.
When we enter into His rest, we can enter into His glory.
Amen.
Praise God. It's His glory. And that glory will come upon us and begin to fill us and begin to move over our lives. And as we enter into His presence, we shall see His glory.
Amen.
How many of us want to see His glory?
Amen.
Yeah, we want to see His glory. You won't see His glory in your strife.
No.
You won't see His glory when you are struggling and fighting. But when you stand back, the Word tells us, stand back and see the salvation of our God. And that salvation brings His glory and brings His presence in our lives. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus, He is the perfect seed. And when that seed is in our lives, then we can begin to move towards the seeing the power and the resurrection life of Jesus within our own life and begin to see His glory. Galatians 3 and verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Notice it's singular. Seed. There's a lot of talk about Israel, and we know they are God's people. God has appointed them. But Israel is not going to crush the devil.
No.
Israel is not going to bruise Satan's head.
No.
That is not what the word says. The word tells us in Galatians 16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham that his seed, he does not say and to his seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to his seed, that is Christ. Who bruised Satan's head? Jesus. He is the only one who was capable. He was the only one who was equipped to bruise Satan's head. Hallelujah. When Satan's head needs bruising, Jesus did the bruising. He destroyed the work of the enemy to set you and me free. To bring us to a place where we won't see the backside of God's glory, but we'll see God face to face. Yeah? The word tells us that we see yet through a glass darkly in Corinthians. But yet, we shall see Him face to face. When we, you know, it says, the word tells us when we spoke as a child, think as a child, but the word tells us that when we became mature, when we came to that level of understanding, and that's what God wants to bring His children to. He wants to bring each and every one of us to a level of understanding. And you know, each and every one of us, including me, are going through phases of a deeper understanding of God.
Amen.
Suddenly one day we see God more clearly.
Yeah.
We see His purposes more clearly.
Yeah.
And the moment, and when we see those things more clearly, we catch another revelation of God. And we start feeling sorry for ourselves.
Amen.
Don't we? We stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Because the word tells us that God has even got His eye on the sparrow. And the sparrow is right through the world. Wherever you go, there is a sparrow of some sort. If God has got His eye on the sparrow, He's going to have His eye upon you and upon me. Wow. Now that has got to give us some comfort. That comfort should bring us some joy.
Amen.
Should bring us some strength. In that, yes, wherever I am, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever I'm going through, God has got His eye upon me. His word says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Well, praise God. Now we can begin to rest. Jesus, if you remember, when He was with the disciples in the boat, said, come, let us go to the other side. And He went and laid down and He rested. And a massive storm blew up. The first thing the disciples did was reach for the buckets, start bailing out. When they saw that the storm was beating them, and that they were on the verge of sinking, they looked round and saw Jesus fast asleep in the rear of the boat. I mean, he's got to have been getting wet. Come on. In those open boats, he had to be getting wet. But he's fast asleep. Because he said, come, let us go to the other side. And his word is sure and certain.
Amen.
And you know the story. He's woken by his disciples. They shake him. And, Master, don't you care? Well, the word tells us, cast all your care upon him.
Amen.
Of course he cares. He's waiting for you to realize that how much he cares. He's waiting for you to release your cares so that he can get hold of your cares and then stand on the front of the boat, the front of your life, and say to the winds and the waves, be still.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you're arriving at the other side. Wow. And you've wasted all that energy. Trying to do it yourself, trying to work it all out, trying to bail it all out, when you have to let him work his word in you. We need to pray, God, give us a revelation in the realm of the Spirit. Lord, deal with my misunderstanding. Deal with my foolish mind. I can't put God in my mind. There is no way can I fully understand God. The creator of my mind, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, and I can't understand him. But he says, follow me. Obey me. Walk after me. He never said, you can be my disciple when you understand all things. Did he?
No.
He never said, well, when you've got your, what they call them these days, that the, when the levels,
A-levels.
No, not A-levels, after, we go after that now, it's, no, not degrees, you're getting too technical, don't, stop getting technical on me, you know, it's, the kids leave school, they go out to work, or they go on these little courses, and they get these, NVQ, you know, this is the in word, isn't it? Get your NVQ, you know. Whether you've achieved any other qualifications, get your NVQ. And that's what they do. And, you know, people try and become Christians by getting NVQs. Nearly qualified. We'll not go any further. Behave yourself, Geraldine. It's not about qualifications in that sense. But it is about a relationship in Jesus. We've talked for many weeks on covenant relationships, and that allows us to be able to throw all sorts of things into the melting pot and to stir it up. God made me to be a poker, a stirrer, and I can't help that. There is nothing I can do about it. If I wanted to change, and there are times when I do, I cannot. I have no ability to change that. That is part of my calling. So I can stir. I can shoot a straight arrow. Hit bullseye. In the sense of the things in God spiritually. My ministry is not to go round, skirt round things. It's to go find the shortest way through. Go through. The problem is, when you do that, you knock things over. We had a cat. Well, we've had two cats in my lifetime. One cat, our first cat that we had, she could walk through anything. You could have ornaments all over the place, and she could walk in between them, around them and by them. She could climb windowsills and over televisions and radiograms and along narrow edges, and she would never ever knock anything off. She had this ability of being able to get through and to get where she wanted to be, and you didn't know that she'd got there. Well, when that little wonderful cat died, later on Grace and I, we got a cat. She had an ability to get to where she wanted to go. But along the way, she would smash things. She attempted to semi-navigate through, but I think after a while she just got fed up and she just hustled her way through. She arrived at a destination, but behind her, chaos. Sometimes she broke things. I remember we had this highly polished stereo set. Lids ever so highly polished. We have a window that is, 6 foot high at least. It's probably only a foot deep or more. And one day, for some reason, somehow, she was left in the lounge on her own. We have these enormous windows in the lounge that are only 3 foot, 3 foot, 6 windowsills off the floor. Easy access. Wonderful view. But for some reason, one day, she gets it into her mind that there is a window there that I have never looked through. She must have got up there. She may not, I don't know. But the only reason I know that she attempted to go up there was on this highly French polished top was some rear feet claw marks as she must have launched off to climb the wall. She left her mark wherever she went. You might laugh, but it's true. She left him out. You knew she'd been there. She must take after her owner. You know? Thank you for that support from my wife. And so, you know, when you shoot that straight arrow, sometimes there are some things that get knocked over and damaged and broken. But you see, we're wanting to reach to a higher level. We're wanting to reach and attain to more of the glory of God. We're wanting to touch more of the things of the kingdom of God. We're wanting to touch more heaven itself. We want to touch the throne room. We want to be able to touch the hem of his garment. I know a power and a reality that flows from the kingdom of God. And so we need to be reaching forward. So Jesus is this seed that is going to destroy the work of the enemy. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. He's going to do it for us. He's already done it, yeah? He says he stripped them of every power and every authority. He stripped Satan. Don't give him any authority. Amen. Don't lift him higher than what he already is when he's underneath your feet. Amen. Let's maintain that level that God has said that we are the head, not the tail. Amen. God has caused us to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't understand it all. I can't work it all out at times. But the thing I have to come to is I just have to accept what He says. I remember at times at schools the teacher would tell you something and it's like it went in and it came out and I was still none the wiser. And then they give you some work to do. Practice. Oh. And you, well, it went in and it went out, but I still haven't got a clue. And in the end, they just give you this simple way, this simple formula. And you just do it, parrot fashion. Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not the only one that's done things parrot fashion, surely. You just do it. You don't know why it works. You don't know how it works. You just do it. And you get, you hand your homework in and you get 10 out of 10 and you go, wow. How did I do that? You just followed the formula. You just did as you were told to do. Then suddenly one day, come here a few years later, let me tell you, I remember, when suddenly one day, boom, the light comes on. You think, that's why it works. That's why you do this and you do that. Have you ever had that happen? You know, you think, wow, why didn't I see it then? I've no idea. It wasn't the appointed time.
Yeah.
You just did it and God did the work. Thank God it's not about what I understand. But it's who I trust.
That's it.
In Him. Mm. In Him we live and move and have our very being. Hallelujah. Verse 17, what I am saying is this, the law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God and Christ so as to nullify the promise. In other words, God is speaking through His word, through His disciple Paul writing, saying just because the law came in 430 years later after the promise of God's covenant to Abraham, it did not change the promise. The promise was already given that that seed would come. And the promises are there for you and for me. Verse 18, for it is the inheritance, for if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. I thank God that He keeps His promises. And I thank God that His promises are greater than His law. Hallelujah. Because He made His promise before He made His law. His law was only to help keep you and I in some form of guidance and line and direct us towards the promise.
Yeah.
And when we reach towards the promise, we'll see God working mightily and changing situations and circumstances. Verse 19, why the law then? It is added because the transgressions have been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed should come to whom the promise has been made. Well, praise God, the seed's arrived. And the seed is Jesus. And that's the promise. And now we can take hold of the promises that have been given to us through Christ Jesus that were given before the law was given. So many people try and get you and I to live by the law. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. And you know, I remember Bish saying many years ago, you will only do what is in your heart to do.
Yeah.
The law cannot change what's in your heart. If you want to break the speed limit, you'll break the speed limit. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Carol? He does it all the time, doesn't he? You know, just because it says, you know, 70 miles an hour, and you break it. And just because, and now they've put speed cameras up, haven't they?
Yeah.
They're all over the place. And guess what? People are still breaking the law. Do you know I know? Because these speed cameras take photographs and send bills through the post automatically and say, you have broken the law. Please pay this within, I don't know how many days. Thankfully, I've never received one of these speeding tickets. I think it's only sometimes, you know, God blinded their eyes or something. We all do these things. We break the law, don't we? There is none of us that is able, that is equipped to keep the law. We cannot keep the law of the land. We've no chance of keeping the law of God. And Jesus really laid it on the line when he said, if you think it, you have done it. Well, I would say that's every one of us is counted out by the law. You know, when somebody crosses you and it just rises up and you think, I'd just like to... You've just thought it. I'm out. You know? One black mark. That's it. But his love and his mercy moves us on in a different way. His promises are sure and eternal for us. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. Last book in the Old Testament. Verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing until it overflows. Hallelujah. You know, God wants to... I'm not trying to talk to you about bringing tithes or anything like that. You do it. You're wonderful in those areas. And God is blessing you in those areas because of that. But there are other areas in the realms of spiritual tithing and time and effort. And God wants every part of us. He wants every area of our lives. And so as we begin to bring ourselves to this place, then God will... You see, God is not desperate for your money to have food. God does not need your money for food. Heaven's not broke. You might be. God's not. But as we move ourselves forward in the realm spiritually, what have you got to give God spiritually? What have you given God today spiritually? Okay, we've sung some songs. Did we really worship? Or did we just sing songs? Serious question. You can come to church and you can sing songs because you know the words. You know the tune. But do we worship? Do we worship? Easy to sing songs. It's more difficult to really worship. And God, you know, wants you to come and I to come to that place where as we're bringing ourselves into that area of praise and worship, God is going to use you to pour out the blessings of heaven. That God, that people will look at you and say, you're blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. You're not blessed just to get for yourself. You are blessed to be a blessing to somebody else. How else can we touch and change people's lives? How else can we reach out and touch those who are in need, lest we are blessed? God wants to pour into you the blessings of Himself. And that He wants to use you, that He will pour out through you. The Word tells us that we are made as vessels, fit for His service. What do you use a vessel for? What do you use a jug for? You have a jug to hold something inside, some liquid of some sort, don't you? But you don't just leave it in that jug, do you? The jug has an end purpose. The interim purpose is just holding the milk, shall we say. But the end purpose of that jug is to be able to pour out. To pour out where you want it to go. Not like some of these new teapots that you get. These stainless steel ones that when you pour it runs out and misses the cup and drips all over the tablecloth. And then your wife says, just look at tablecloth again. So the best place to use these is to take them to the sink and pour them over the sink, so let it drip in the sink. See, these teapots are unrefined. They're not finished. They haven't gone through a full process. You see, there's got to be a spout on these things. And that's where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. There's an old song, weren't there? Uh-huh. Yeah. See, Graham knows them all. Yeah. Geraldine says he's older than us. Oh, you went to some churches where they sang them, did you? What is it? The spout where the glory comes out. Do you know, I can't remember. Can you remember, Brian? Carol can remember it. Come on. Somebody got a bit to remember this. That, you know, it's used to be this song where we used to sing this, you know. I'm a little teapot, small and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout, you know. You remember that one, don't you? It's all about so that the glory of God can be poured out. And we can pour it and direct it where it needs to be. Not over the tablecloth. I didn't want my tea in the saucer. I wanted it in the cup. You know? And in the same way, you and I, God wants to use you as a vessel to pour out the glory of God. So that you can direct it. Doesn't want you to be like one of these garden hoses that you lay on the ground and the thing just sprays all over the place. It's about having that purpose and direction so that we can direct the glory and the presence of God into people's lives. So God wants you to be that window, to be that outpouring, to be that teapot where the glory and the power will be poured out upon people's lives and lives will be changed. Verse 11. When that starts happening, through the prophet God says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you. Hallelujah. All you've got to do is get on with pouring it out.
Yes, amen.
Get it poured out. God will deal with the devourer. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. You don't have to bother. You just keep. Your job is to keep pouring out the glory and the power and the presence of God. I think so often we get so devil focused that we forget that Jesus has defeated him, stripped him, paraded him, as we said on Wednesday night, publicly through the streets as a defeated foe, had him stripped butt naked, dragged him through the streets and said, "This is who you were afraid of. This is the guy who controlled you. Now look at him. I've taken from him every key." The devil doesn't have the key of death.
He doesn't. Oh,
glory to God.
Praise God.
Let's give Jesus praise and glory and honour and majesty. "Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground." He'll not destroy your fruit. When the word talks about ground in the Old Testament, it's talking about you, talking about man. He's not going to destroy man. Hallelujah. Praise his name. "Nor will your vine in the field cast its grape, says the Lord." You're going to be fruitful. You are going to be a fruitful vine. You're going to have grapes. In other words, you're going to have fruit. Isn't that wonderful? You see, all this is done in the realm of the spirit. It's not done in the realm of the natural. It's not about what you can do naturally, because some of these things that God is going to do through you in these coming days, you cannot do in the natural. You are not able to do in the natural, because God is going to prove himself to be the God of gods. He's going to do things through you that you are totally incapable of doing. So that when it comes to the pat on the back, the glory side, well, I can't do that, but God did it. And so we give him all the praise. We give him all the glory. It's not about your qualifications. It's not about how many MVQs, O-levels, A-levels, HNDs, degrees, diplomas, whatever. It's not about those things. It's about how God can flow through you in the realm of the Spirit. How you will let him flow. If it was about educational qualifications, a lot of us don't qualify. Do we? We'd all have to go back to school, and some of us don't want to go back to school, and some of us don't have enough time to go back to school. And some of us, when we went to school, well, didn't knuckle down, did we? No. But God is about to do... I honestly believe that God wants to move through you in the realm of the Spirit in a powerful way. And it is not about your ability, but it is about your trust and your belief in him. He will rebuke the devourer and set you free. Because it's about him getting all the praise, him getting all the glory, him receiving all the acclamations that are due unto his name. It's not about your efforts. It's about the power and the presence of God moving in and through your life. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Glory. Amen. Turn to Colossians 3 and verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." And what we have to do, what God's commission for you and me, is for us to reveal Christ. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done. You can't do anything. It's about what he's done, Jesus. It's about revealing Jesus, and as we reveal Jesus, as then He is glorified, then we are glorified. We follow in behind, because He's lifted up. When He's lifted up and magnified, then we also will be magnified, because we're part of His body, part of the work of God, part of the things what God is intending to do in this earth. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. You know, a lot of people preach on that, and they preach on, well, that you've sown, you'll reap it. And the moment they say that, you start thinking about all them wrong things you said, you did, you were involved in, and that one day there's a harvest going to come on that. Don't you? Let's read on. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall reap from the Spirit, reap eternal life. Come on. You see, we get stopped at the first hurdle. We trip up over that one. We fall over that one, and we never get to that one. But if you sow in the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. In other words, there's some great things. There's some great things. We're told to forget the past. The word says forget the former things. Behold. Get ready. Fix your eyes upon me, he says. I'm going to do a new thing. Wow. He's going to do a new thing, Josie. New thing. And it's going to be a thing of the realm of the Spirit. So that none of us are going to get all that praise and all that glory, because it's going to be God that's doing it. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Well, you know, when you start to grow weary, you have to encourage yourself. You have to have others around you that will encourage you also, and that together then that weariness lifts off you. And we move on in the presence of God. Let's turn to, still staying in Galatians, and turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now these things belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus. Having crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You see, these scriptures tie together. That we are to realize that we're told what the fruit of the Spirit is. We're told what it's about, and that they come from Christ. And we're told to just forget about sowing to the flesh, but let us sow in the realm of the Spirit. And you see, he tells you right in 22 of chapter 5 what to sow. And you start sowing those things, and you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles around your life. Hallelujah. You will see those things. That seed will come up, and it will bring a mighty harvest. And it's about entering into God's rest in this. The farmer, when he plants his seeds, he doesn't get up every day and keep going and looking and thinking, well, I put some seed there, but it hasn't come up yet. You know, he don't go the next day and have a look, and the day after, and say, well, it still hasn't come up yet. In due season, He knows the season. And the seed comes up and begins to sprout and to shoot. And it will continue to grow and blossom and then bring forth fruit. Some 60, some 30, some 100. And it will bring forth a mighty harvest. So, just plant it. Keep planting. Keep planting in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And then we just send out, Lord, when it's harvest time, just send out those ministering angels, Lord. And let them bring in the harvest. And bring in your harvest. And God will see great, God will see that you are credited to your account. You don't have to keep track of your accounts in heaven. God does. And God will do great and mighty things, and you will see signs. I honestly believe, I'm encouraging you, you will see signs and wonders. It's not about striving, it's not about struggling, but it is about resting and trusting God. It's not about trying to work it out. Don't try and manipulate the situation. Ladies are often good at that. They, Grace can do it. She did it on me a few weeks ago, and I don't know how she did it. She told me she'd got me to do something that I had no intention of doing. I can't remember what it was. No, she can't remember what it was, but she got what she wanted. And she normally she doesn't do those sort of things. But I remember it, she said, "Well, I wanted you to do that." I thought, how did she get me to do that? Because she had no intention of doing that. Must be getting a bit slow or something. Not quite catching on to what's happening at times. Do you have that problem, Brian? My, you've had three in the house, four in the house, really, haven't you? So you've had some steep manipulation going off on you in your life, brother. You recognise it straight away now, don't you? Yeah. Comes in all sorts of guises and disguises and shapes and forms. It's not about manipulation. It's not about getting your own way. Your way doesn't matter. It's God's way. Isn't that right, Zena? It missed. I got out of the way just in time. If you've made somebody do something that you wanted God to make him do, you just failed. Think about that for a moment. You have just failed. Because if you made them do it through the realm of the natural, you're sowing in the flesh. But if you let God get his hand on the situation and you sow in the realm of the Spirit and they do it because God's put his finger on them, you've won the victory. Now, sometimes what you want and what I want people or situations to do is not what God intends. But that's being selfish at times. It's being self-centered, self-motivated. Well, I want this because it'll make it easier for me. Tough. Might make it easier for you, but there might be 10 others that you're going to cause it to be more difficult for. So God is going to do it the way he wants to do it, and we have to learn to surrender to that and let God do his work in our lives. And we'll press on and see things happening and moving and changing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. You have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God. God's word creates in you and me an incorruptible seed. Amen. In the King James. God's word creates an incorruptible seed in you and I. That seed is Jesus, Him working in us. You know, as I was sort of just looking on this word and just pondering, when God created Adam, the first Adam, God intended him to be victorious. And he was of the seed of God. He was made in God's likeness, it says. He was made in God's image. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. First, look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God's created man in his own image. He's given him a garden to live in, to be in charge of, to have authority over. He's given him this place. God has put him in there and he's given him all that he needs and he's made him in his image. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. Suddenly dawned on me today. This is strange. The Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" God's looking for him. God is looked. Do you know why God couldn't see him? Because he's looking for his image. And when he sinned, it wasn't anymore in God's image. I thought, you know, God's the creator, he knows all things, and he's going around the garden saying, "Adam, where are you?" He's changed. You know, when you're born again, you change. Then God recognizes you. Every day when you walk into the presence of God, God recognizes you. Verse 10 says, "And Adam said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And God said, Who told you that? God's not seeing himself anymore. God is looking for himself in you, and in you. And you know, the only thing that God recognizes is the image of himself in you and in me. God is looking for his own image. The image of the Spirit, seated in heavenly places, resting in God, being hid in Christ, who is the Sabbath rest. And we can know that very presence of God in our lives. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And He is the radiance of His glory. That is Jesus. He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory. And the exact representation of God's nature. The exact representation of God's nature. Sheesh. I can hear your brain going round, Catherine. I can hear it happening. You see, it's clicking in your spirit, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's like, you know. And you're getting bigger inside. And it's challenging you. But it's true. And it's exciting. And if we, you know what I mean? Verses like this, when you suddenly look at it and God just takes the veil off it and highlights it to you. And He, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature and upholds all things by the word of God's power. When He, Jesus, hath made purification of sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty of majesties on high. Wow. You need to read that verse of scripture when you go home. I've tried to amplify it just as I've read it from my New American Standard, because it says, and He is the radiance of His glory. And if you read it like that, and He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the power of His word, it means nothing. But if you read it and say, and He, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. Wow. I don't know about you, but it sets something off in my spirit. Give me an amplified, can you? So, thanks. And I didn't have time to read it in the Amplified. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the or radiance of the divine. And He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His might. Wow. By His mighty word of power. Wow. When He had by offering Himself accomplished our cleansing of our sins and radiance of guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Wow. That's God. That's my Jesus in the very presence of God. Thanks, Josie. The word says that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. That's where we're seated. That's the level that we're seated in. That's the presence. That's the power. That is what God wants you and I to come to as we are entering into His rest. Don't strive, but enter into His rest, and we will attain to those levels. Amen. Today you're going to have to learn to say, Lord, I will not strive. When you rise in the morning, tomorrow for us is going to be a hard day. It's exhibition setup day. Awkward, aren't they, Brian? Seems as if things don't go right. And you've got to come to that place where you say, I will not strive today. And every day we're going to have to learn to rise up and say, I will not strive, but I'm going to rest in His glory. And read that, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Speak it over yourself that day. And I think you'll mount up on wings of eagles and you'll fly on those thermals that the Word of God is creating for you and for me. Amen.